disciplined and more vibrant Holy Ghost than we've ever been before. Can you say amen? So I've been seeing you in my mind's eye, and I've been seeing you in my prayer time. I walk through this sanctuary, and I can see where you sit. And I call your name when I come by where you're sitting. And it's not as good as having you here in the house, though. So we're going to have a riotous time when we get together and are able to come back together and worship God in the house. But until then, we're going to serve God in prayer and in word and worship, and we're going to be as effective as we can in every area of ministry, and in all that we lay our hands to, we pray God anoint it and bless it. So we're going to read tonight in Joshua chapter 2 for a text. But I want to talk to you tonight about how far God is able to reach. And if you think that you're at a place in your life where God can't get to you, that you're too far, too low, too broken, too messed up, too you fill in the blank. If you think that God doesn't have access to you tonight, I want to tell you, you're within God's reach tonight. You are within the reach of God. Now, you can list all the reasons why not, but I'm going to tell you, every one of those will come down, and God is able to reach you. Now, something else I want you to do for me. I want you to think about your greatest need. What do you think would be the best thing you can imagine that God could do for you tonight? Could you imagine maybe to fill a need in your life, or to have a place in the kingdom of God, or to heal a hurt in your life, or to resolve a trauma and a past event? Everybody's got a different story, but what would your best thing be tonight if God could reach out and touch you right now? What would you like to see him do? I want to tell you, as soon as you arrive at that, I want to tell you, not only is God able to touch you and fill you and help you in that area, but God is able, he already has a plan beyond that. He already sees you beyond what you can ask or think. The scripture says that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you are able to ask or to think. God's already out beyond you, and he sees you in a totally different season, and he sees you in a totally different description, and he sees you there. He sees your potential. Now, you've got to cooperate, and you've got to embrace it, and you've got to say yes to God, and there's some lifting on your part that you have to do. But I want you to know that the thing that you most desire tonight, God's already there, and he's already past that. Let's read. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came to a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, "Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out all the country." And the woman took the 2 men and hid them, and said, "Thus, there came men unto me, but I knew not whence they were." I didn't know where they were from. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. And whither the men went, I know not. Pursue after them quickly, or you shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and had hid them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. Praise God. If you love His Word, let's give God thanks and praise for His Word tonight. Mighty God, we thank You for the great privilege to handle Your Word in this house. We thank You, O God, for the gift, the graciousness, the wonder, the power, the goodness of Your Word. We praise You for the privilege to be able to walk up and down in the promise of Your Word tonight. We pray that Your Word would move in every house, in every family, in every marriage, that You would plant the seed of the Word in every life tonight, God. Enhance and bless every ministry. Bless and strengthen the work of the hands of Your people. Bless them in work. Bless them in family. Bless them in ministry. Prosper them, O God, in all that they do. Let Your Word do its work tonight. We pray that You would do it in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. All right, this is a classic Sunday school story, and all of our Sunday school kids know about this story, and everybody knows about Jericho, and every now and then when I'm dealing with the Joshua and Jericho, I see VeggieTale characters in my mind's eye, and it's hard to separate it now because it's all mixed up in there. But this is a story about the conquering of the promised land, and the first major city that they overthrow is the city of Jericho. And so here in Jericho, it's time for them to assault that city. And Joshua sends two spies into the city, and they happen upon the house of one Rahab, and she is a prostitute. She's a harlot, and she lives in a house upon the wall of that great city. And those two men went there, but somebody saw them, and a report went out, and someone came seeking after them and felt like they were spies, and they were right in their conclusion about that. And so they were in this house with Rahab, but she straight up lies to the messengers from the king, and she says they went that away and they left about dark, and if you hurry, you can catch them. But she had hid them under some bundles of flax on her roof. And then after she had done that, before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And this is God's PR program. This is how God works. And it's 40 years now since they came out of Egypt. It's 40 years since they came out of Egypt, and the unbelieving generation came all the way to the gate of the promised land and would not go in. And then they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until they died. And now this event, these two spies, Joshua and all of these events, and Rahab, it's 40 years after the Exodus. And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. This is a Canaanite prostitute, and she says, I know exactly who you are, and I know who your God is. The Lord has given you this land, and your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They didn't get there for 40 years, but these stories persist among these Jerichoites, and they are scared to death of the idea of Israel, whose God blasted Pharaoh and drowned him in the Red Sea and did terrors and wonders in Egypt and opened up the waters of the Red Sea. And that the terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our heart did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Rahab the prostitute has more faith than the unbelieving generation that just died in the wilderness. Rahab the prostitute believes that God could send His people in and overwhelm Canaan, and the people of God didn't even believe it. But Rahab was a believer. And she prophesied here. This is good preaching she's preaching here. And she said, your Lord, your God, he's the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And then she makes a deal with them. Now, therefore, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, I hid you, I didn't blow your cover, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father, my mother, my brethren, and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. If you utter not this, our business, it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. So she cuts a deal with these spies, these Jews that have come, and they sound open to it, and they say, well, we'll make this even trade. You don't blow our cover. It's our life and your life. And so the terms of the deal are like this. The men said unto her, we'll be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by. So she let them out on a little, they call it a thread, but I'm thinking either these were really skinny Jews or this was a piece of nice cord. So it was a nice little piece of scarlet rope. It was a piece of crimson rope, and she let them out. And when we come to the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou did let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, thy father's household a home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood will be upon his head, and we'll be guiltless. If anybody leaves the house, we're not responsible. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head. If something happens to anybody that's in your house, it'll be on us. We're taking it personally. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, or we will be removed, or we will be taken out of this oath that we've made. It's quit is like a quit claim. You cease and desist any claim upon this contract. And so we'll be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And she doesn't know, and neither do these spies know. But there's something really prophetic taking place here. The Jews, it's been 40 years, but they came out of Egypt and they were protected on the way out of Egypt because of the blood of a sacrifice that was splashed on their door. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, hence the Passover. And now this lady has made a deal with the emissaries of God, and they are the word of God in her house, and they are the representative of the kingdom of God in her house. And they said, you do this, you run this red cord down the wall here under your window to identify your house. And it is very similar to the idea of blood on the doorpost, and the fact that God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Rahab here is prophetic in her actions, and she may not understand how or why, but this scarlet cord is a symbol of the blood, and Israel's been delivered by blood, and God has already made this declaration. And so a crimson thread is going to bring deliverance and salvation to the house of Rahab. And in the middle, I told you a while ago, I want you to think about what you would like to see God do. And I want to tell you that God is well able, if you're thinking biblically and within the framework of the Word of God, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. But I want you to know God is already down the road a ways beyond what your ideal for an interaction with God would be like. God has a plan, and God is working a plan. But while he's in the middle of working the big plan, he's got a bigger plan down the road. I'm just telling you, that's how God works. And it came to pass at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, and all of our Sunday school teachers could tell this story, and all of our Sunday school students could tell this story. For a week, they're going to march around Jericho, and they're going to be silent. And on that seventh day, they're going to march seven times and shout and blow trumpets, and God has promised that he's going to bring the wall down. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live." And here Joshua, the successor to Moses, the anointing is on him. He's already met the captain of the Lord's host, and he is the man of God, and he's given instructions to this mighty army of God. But he stops in the middle of it all, and he mentions a harlot that lives on the wall in a cursed city. She's a cursed woman in a cursed city, but she got a hold of something in God, and she ran a little red rope down the side of her wall, and now the man that is going to conquer all of Canaan is mentioning her name and is representing her. And the city shall be a curse, even it, all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot, and he names her as a harlot. We're going to let this harlot live. Do you know if you were a harlot in Israel, they would kill you? Do you know the penalty for being a harlot within the walls of Israel was the death penalty? But he said, she's Rahab the harlot, but we've got to deal with her. She's Rahab the harlot, but she's got a red stream, a red thread running down the outside of her house. And she's going to get some mercy that nobody else in this city is going to get. She and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. She made place for the word of God. She made room for the people of God. She made room for the influence of God. And because of that, God said, I'm going to do something for her. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to save her. I'm going to pluck her out of a place that is destined for destruction. And oaths and promises are important to God. And whatsoever you bind on the earth is bound in the heaven. And whatsoever you loose in the earth is loosed in heaven. So God does very strategic, surgical miracles. This is a house in the middle of an accursed city. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet that the people shouted with a great shout, so that the wall fell flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And I've always seen this in my mind's eye, that the whole wall around the whole city collapses. The Bible said that the wall fell flat. But I want you to remember what we read. We read, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. I want you to know that the whole wall fell around that city, but there was a segment of that wall that was yet standing when the dust settled, and the house of Rahab was standing in the middle. The judgment of God came down, but she and that little red thread were standing strong right in the middle of all of that destruction. I want you to know, I thank God for the blood. I thank God for the blood. Everything can be falling down around you, but the blood delivers to the uttermost. Let's clap our hands. Let's lift up a voice. Let's magnify God tonight. And I think about Egypt, and I think about Goshen, and I think about God just putting his hand over that little place. And it was raining hail and fire, but not on Goshen. And the cattle were dying of a grievous murrain, but not in Goshen. And the plagues were falling on the Egyptians, and they had a grievous sore on their bodies, but not in Goshen. Because God can pour out judgment, but he does it strategically, and he does it surgically. And you can stand in the middle of a whirlwind of the action and the judgment of God, But if your heart and your life are right with God, you can stand in that place. I'll give you one better. You can walk in a fiery furnace, and when you come out, you won't even smell like smoke. So the wall fell flat, but not Rahab's house. And it was after the battle. Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, you go to the harlot's house. She's the harlot. Not the kind lady that helped us. Not our secret agent inside the place. Not a million other things he might have ascribed to her. He said, you go to that harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she has, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And then they burnt the city with fire and all that was therein, and only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron they put in the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household and all that she had. You know, when they're talking about Magdalene and they're just describing Magdalene, they just casually say, Magdalene, out of which he cast seven devils. And that stayed with her a long time. But it's not a pejorative. It's a description of the marvelous deliverance and delivering power of God. It's a wonderful thing. You want to get past your failure, and you want to walk in a place where nobody remembers your failure anymore. But let's don't call it remembering the failure. Let's call it remembering the great deliverance of God. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And there's not a good man or a good woman among us. We are all covered by the blood, and we are all in need of the grace and mercy of God. Everybody say praise the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household and all she had, and she dwelleth in Israel unto this day. At the time of the writing of the book of Joshua, she was still alive, and she was staying in that land of Israel because she hid the messengers. She embraced the word of God. She embraced the hope of God. She was an outsider. She was an alien. She was not eligible, and she was morally unfit for that discipline called the word of God. But she embraced it, and she hid the messengers, and so she changed her destiny by the way that she responded to the people of God. So Rahab is legendary, and Rahab makes the hall of fame of the faithful in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not. And here, thousands of years later, here, listing and talking about her, she's still not good mother Rahab, not grandmother Rahab, dear sister Rahab, but she's still the harlot Rahab, and she hadn't been a harlot for 3,000 years. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. She makes James a position paper on faith and works in James chapter 2. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers? And she's not Rahab the sweet sister, and she's not Rahab the kind mother, but she is still Rahab the harlot. 3,000 years later, James is writing. No, 1,500 years later, James is writing, and he writes, Rahab the harlot justified by works. She received the messengers and sent them out another way. But Rahab's agency and ministry is broader and bigger and further reaching than just the story, the initial story, and the two spies and the way that she facilitates the people of God in their taking of the land of Canaan and the city of Jericho. And here I read in Matthew chapter 1, and Salmon begets Boaz of Rahab. So she married a nice guy named Salmon. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and Jesus is the son of David. So Rahab in her day married Salmon, a nice Jewish boy, and they have a nice baby boy, and they name him Boaz. And immediately you recognize the one of the characters out of the story of Ruth, the little Moabite lady. And Boaz marries Ruth, and she's this nice Moabite girl that comes back with a backslider and comes to church with a backslider, and they get married and they have a baby boy. And I don't know, but Boaz's mama was an outsider and a Canaanite, and maybe he saw something in Ruth that kind of reminded him of his mama. She wasn't a homegrown. She was an outsider. She didn't belong, but neither did his mama belong. But he had something in his heart that responded to her, and she was a nice Moabite girl. But they get together and they have a baby boy named Obed, and Obed marries a nice Jewish girl, and they have a baby boy named Jesse, and Jesse marries a nice Jewish girl, and they have a baby boy, and they name him David. And 1,000 years after David, Jesus is born of Mary, and Rahab the Canaanite prostitute is in the bloodline of Jesus Christ. And this is one of the most miraculous things about God. God is always kicking down doors, and God is always opening possibilities, and God is always reaching for those that are out of reach. And if you had asked about the odds before about a prostitute in Jericho being alive after the dust settled, and about her coming home and making a home in Israel and becoming a part of the greatest plan that God had, nobody would have given you even money on that. But I want you to know, God's always looking down the road. He's got a big plan for you. He's got a great plan for you, and he can pull it off. And so Rahab is the great, 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 31 greats. Jesus is the great grandson of Rahab, the harlot of Jericho. And here we are. Here we are in Birmingham. We're 3,500 years after Rahab, the harlot, hides the spies under flax on her roof. And we're talking about her. It's 3,500 years. You know how many people have lived and died and didn't make the record? How many people have come and gone, and we don't know about them, much less talk about them? But here we are, and every time you read Matthew 1, you read the genealogies, every time you read the story of the conquest of Jericho, every season of Sunday school material, somebody's going to talk about Jericho, and somebody's going to mention Rahab. And I don't know if they'll call her Rahab the harlot or not, but she is a single woman. And I don't know what her condition was, and I don't know how she wound up as a prostitute. It is the oldest profession. She was at least working. She had her own house, and she was working a trade that apparently was somehow respected there or utilized there in Jericho. But she, by faith, she not only saves herself. If she had lived in Israel, they'd have killed her already. But she, by faith, saves herself, saves her family, and becomes notable in the household of God. I want to tell you how far God can reach. Now, I don't know who you are or what you've done or what you're back trail looks like, but I want you to know that God's able to pluck a little lady up out of a cursed city and a wall that's going to fall down. Her house is on the wall, but all of these odds don't matter in the plan of God, because God has his sights on her, and she's got a little red thread of a covenant running down her wall, and God says she is going to be mine. And somewhere up in heaven, I hear God chuckling, and God said, not only is she going to be mine, but I'm going to put her in the mix, and I'm going to blow the mind of every Pharisee, and I'm going to blow the mind of every scribe and everybody that thinks like they think. I'm going to reach out and touch an untouchable. I'm going to reach out and touch somebody they wouldn't have. They talked about Jesus. They said if he knew what kind of woman she was, he wouldn't let her touch him. And he didn't tell him, but he could have. He could have said, my great, 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 great grandmama was a harlot in Jericho. Don't talk bad about them. They can come and live for God, and they can be redeemed. Somebody say praise the Lord. I want you to know nobody's out of the reach of God. If you can get yourself to an altar, if you can pray a prayer, nobody is out of God's reach. No life is too messed up. No mind is too messed up. No marriage is too messed up. No family is too messed up. God can reach you. God can reach you. God can reach you. But you need to consider what Hagar considered when God came to her when she first was burying Ishmael. And she names the place where she met God Beer Lehoroi. I love it in Bible studies when people are reading. And she said, God sees me, which is a revelation. I want you to know tonight, God sees you. He sees you in your cursed city. He sees you on that doomed wall. He sees you in your profession that he wouldn't tolerate for a second if you belong to him. He sees you and he wants you and he has a plan for you, and he sees her in that city, and he loves turning things upside down, and he wants to turn your life upside down. Somebody say praise. I want somebody that God has literally turned your life upside down. I want you to give God some praise right now. I want you to give God some thanks. Clap your hands right there in your kitchen, right there. Run around the coffee table. Somebody dance a little bit in your living room, wherever you are. If God came to you against all odds, if God reached you when nobody would have given you a chance, you didn't even believe that God was able, I want to tell somebody tonight, you may be sitting here thinking, God can't reach me. God can't find me. I'm too far gone. I want you to know God can reach a whore in a doomed city on a doomed wall. God can reach you where you are. Not only can he get you out and keep you alive, but he's got a bigger plan. He wants to weave you into his big eternal plan. She becomes notable in the house of God. So God can reach into a cursed situation, a doomed circumstance. And because of your response in faith, God can cover you. And it is as it were, you can have your own crimson thread cord that runs down outside your house. Today we call that the blood of Jesus. And that's what it indicated in the Exodus, and that's what the imagery is in the Word of God with Rahab's cord of crimson. It's like the blood, and I'm telling you, it causes things that shouldn't survive to survive, and it covers people that it just blows the mind and blows the probabilities what the blood can do, the difference that the blood makes. I want you to know God can work deliverance. God can work salvation. God can work inclusion. You can be saved tonight. You can be transformed tonight. You can be changed. You can be revolutionized tonight. God can save you. God can save your family. You can become a part of something that is timeless and something that is great. And if you'll, like Rahab did, if you tonight will let this word into your house and hide this word in your heart, and if something comes knocking on your door tonight or in the morning saying, look, you got to turn loose of that word. You got to turn loose of that that came into your house, and you don't be listening to that. Your life is going to go on just like it has. We don't want anything interfering with the way we're doing business. They want to leave you in the misery that you're in. They want to leave you in the darkness that you've been living in. But God's got something better for you. And if you'll let the word of God in tonight, and you'll hide the word, and you won't let anything come and steal the word away from you tonight, God is able to redeem you just like he redeemed Rahab. Somebody say amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, don't you let something steal the word of God away from you. You can obey the word of God tonight. We've got water in the baptistry. We've got it all nice and toasty and heated up for you. If you'll run something on the chat on the website for us, if you'll let us know that you'd like to go down in the water tonight. You say, well, what does that have to do with the cord of crimson? What does that have to do in the New Testament? What they did to achieve a place of redemption and what they did to have the blood applied was they began to be baptized, and they did it exclusively in the name of Jesus. It wasn't in the Old Testament. It begins with John the Baptist, and then on the day of Pentecost, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism is where the blood is applied. You go down in the water in Jesus' name tonight. When the devil looks at you the next time he sees you, there'll be a red cord running down the outside of your house. When God passes over your house, he'll see the blood. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When the judgment comes, the judgment won't come to you. When the plague comes, the plague won't come to you, because the blood, is there an amen in the house? The blood is going to cover you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. So tonight, if you call or if you let us know on the website, we'll meet you here. We'll put you down in the water in Jesus' name, and God will wash every sin away. And I'm just telling you this, when the Lord sees the blood on you, the whole city can fall down around you, but it won't touch you. God will keep you for himself. God will keep you for his plan. God's got a plan for you. You're sitting in a hovel tonight and you feel like your life has no purpose. God has a purpose for you. You're sitting in a place depressed tonight and you don't think you can go any further. God wants to take you further than you've ever been in your life. You're sitting in a place tonight and you feel like you've already made such a mess that nothing can resolve it. I want you to know tonight, God can reach you where you are. Somebody say praise the Lord. It doesn't matter how distant you feel. Rahab was a Canaanite, an alien. She was a prostitute living in a cursed city. And I don't know how bad you are or how far you've fallen, but I'm telling you, he reached a long way to touch Rahab. Paul says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, let's play, and without God in the world. But now, somebody say, but now, Christ Jesus, now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes far off are made nigh, made near, brought close by the blood of Christ. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. The thread outside Rahab's house was the blood of Jesus. The thread outside was the promise of the covenant. She had allowed the word of God into her house. And she, when she first heard it, she heard the rumors of the word. She wanted it. And there's people like that. There's people like that all over this city. They want to believe that there's a miracle for them. They just never have had anybody tell them that it's possible for them. I want you to know, it doesn't matter how broken you are, God fixes broken people. It doesn't matter how big the mess is, God can unscramble scrambled eggs. Come on, give God a chance. Give God a chance. Right where you are right now, I want you to kneel down. Lift up your hands. I want you to stand up. Lift up your hands. Whatever your posture, whatever you're comfortable with, I want you to begin to call on the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to deliver me. I'm living in a doomed city. This world's not going to last. The prophecy's happening on every hand. You better get it right with God, because everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Everything that can be brought down is going to be brought down. Every kingdom in this world is going to be brought down. But the kingdom of God is going on and going up and getting better and getting stronger. And you can be a part of it tonight. Somebody say the blood.
That gives me strength from death.
Sing about the blood.
It reaches to the high.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how far away you are.
Mountain.
Hallelujah. It flows. Yes. Yes.
It flows to the Lord.
Hallelujah. I pray for somebody right there in your house tonight. Pray for somebody right there in your house tonight. We're praying for you. We're looking for you. We expect the Spirit of God to touch your life tonight. Mighty God, lay your hand on all of these that are listening in tonight. Move by your Spirit into their homes, oh God. Let your word move in their lives. Help them, touch them, strengthen them, deliver them, oh God. Draw them close to you tonight, oh God. Bring them into the ark of your safety tonight. Do it in Jesus' name. Do it in Jesus' name.
It reaches to the highest mountain.
It reaches to the highest mountain.
It flows to the lowest valley.
To the lowest.
Come on, come on. He's reaching for you tonight. Looking for you tonight. He wants to make you a part of something great. House, in every kitchen, in every living room, reach over, lay your hand on somebody right now. Let's just talk in tongues. Let's pray in the Spirit. Let that Holy Ghost rise up in you. Let the Spirit of God speak over your life. Let Him speak over your house. Let Him pray a prayer of dominion. Let Him pray a prayer of deliverance there. Come on, come on. God wants to pray for you tonight. That's what this Holy Ghost is for. That's what it's about. Come on, let that prayer break forth. That's right, that's right. Now give it some strength. Give it some strength. Give it some volume. Let that Holy Ghost pour forth in your house. Praise the Lord. I don't know that I understand completely the story, but I got a text from Sister Christy Carr this morning, and she was contacted by some complete strangers out of Mississippi, and it had something to do with an old Bible and a letter in that old Bible from her grandmother, and it had made its way, who knows how, in a storage place, and somebody found it and thought, you know, I would like it if I had my grandmother's Bible. And there's a letter in there for Christy. And it's as though long ago, God already started reaching for Christy. In a time, and this is a letter she probably has never seen, and maybe some words that she's never heard. And you'll just have to call her and get her to give you all the juicy details. But I just thought about that today, and I thought, look at that, how God was reaching for her. I can look over my back trail and see places where we came really close, where somebody set their hand on us or an event took place and God was reaching, God was reaching. And sometimes you don't see it until you get in and then you understand and then you have an illumination and you look back and you say, oh, he saved me there and he kept me there. And he delivered me there, and I didn't even know it at the time. And look, he was reaching for me right there. I'm going to tell you, he's been reaching for you a long time. And God has deliverance for you, and God has some greater thing for you tonight. He really does. It is so wonderful to be in the Lord's house with you on a Wednesday night. And I'm so glad for what God is doing in all of our lives. I pray the blessing of God on all of your homes and your families. And in this time when we're not able to get together, sink those roots deep and let that house be lit up with prayer and worship and the Word of God. And let that Word of God be opened in your home and be creative about it. Find somebody to tell about the things of God. Be involved in these Bible studies. Teach a Bible study of your own. I had somebody ask me today about posting some information or doing some lessons on. I said, do it. More bread, more bread, more bread. I mean, get out there and where you can and what you can do in the middle of this restricted time. Do what you can, because we're going to touch some people that we would not have met otherwise. It always works that way. Well, God bless you. I love you and appreciate you tonight. And we'll look forward to seeing you in Bible studies this week and also in church Sunday morning, Sunday night. And oh, what a day it will be when we're able to get back in the house together. It won't be as good as heaven, but it'll be real sweet. We're looking forward to it. God bless you.